This is Phil Farron. I am driving home. Okay, couple of things today. In the first place, as you can hear, it is raining. We love the rain. We love the rain. Makes everything green. I remember one time my wife and I had flown out to Las Vegas, and then we grabbed a car and we drove across to Bakersfield. And as we were making that trip from Las Vegas to Bakersfield to see some relatives, at one point I just looked at my wife and I said, nothing is green, because it was all just brown, dead desert. Not a good look. So I always love the rain because it's green. It makes things green. The other thing is, you may or may not be able to tell, but I'm actually driving my mother-in-law's car at this point. I think I had mentioned last week or the week before last that I had driven her car and said it needed an oil change, and then I was getting freaked out because the last time it had had an oil change was like September 2nd of last year, and this is March, and I was like, uh-oh. But I had checked the oil level, and the oil level was good. And then I realized that the next oil change was due at 113,000 miles, and the car only has 111,000 miles. So Nana has not been driving her car much, for good reason, because her pacemaker had gone out in October. So, you know, she really hasn't had a chance much to drive her car. So tomorrow morning I'm going to drop it off at the Walmart, and my buddy is going to pick me up there and take me to Cracker Barrel, and we're going to have breakfast. And a lovely time will be had by all, and then he'll take me back to Cracker Barrel afterwards. It is obviously St. Patrick's Day this weekend, and so I will have the leprechaun costume on for that. That's always fun. And it is one of the earliest costumes, full costumes that I get. I think my first full costume was an elf, and that was just okay, but it was a full costume. I mean, I did the head-to-toe thing. And then the next one was the Uncle Sam costume. And, you know, that was the one I actually put all the pieces together and did the thing and tried to make it all lock together and have a distinct look and feel to it. And that one went well enough that then the subsequent year, I decided, well, okay, so let's go for the leprechaun. And if I recall correctly, I think that was 2019. And then there were a few more here or there, and then in 2020 is where we really kicked off and started doing the thing. So that means this will be... If I did it in 2019, that means this year will be, what, the sixth time I've done this costume? So, but I like it. I put it on this last week, and I still like it, and it's fun. I'm a very tall leprechaun, but that's okay. That is okay. And people seem to enjoy it. I'm halfway considering throwing it back on Sunday and going back to Walmart, because a couple of my buddies may be dressed as leprechauns, and it's always fun to get a group picture when that happens. So we'll see. I think one year we actually had two of my buddies at Walmart were dressed as leprechauns, and then my friend Barbie had dressed in her leprechaun outfit, Mrs. Leprechaun, and so we had four leprechauns all standing together. We were trying to take a picture, and it's amazing how many cell phones come out at the Walmart when there are four leprechauns milling about together. So that was fun. I think I finally landed the book. Glory! that one took a little longer than I was expecting, but I had the time because the kids can't really do the shoot until next week sometime, because it's spring break this week, and so they had other plans. So I wasn't too concerned about it, and I'm still in March, and as long as I get the book off to the publisher or off to the printer by, you know, second or third, about third week in March, it'll be fine. So I wasn't too worried about it, but the epilogue just wasn't turned right. I had gone at it from one perspective, and then it just wasn't happening. Then I thought, oh, I'm telling the final piece of the epilogue from the wrong character perspective, and so I switched that, and that helped a little, but it just wasn't still there. And then I figured out where I wanted it to go, but I didn't quite have the right word sequence. It's so fascinating. It's all just so fascinating. But I got it landed last night. Yay. So that's good. So now, and I've got the cover roughed in. So that's ready. Tonight, I'll get started laying it out so that I've got the interior done.
Once I have that done,
then I'll have some little bit of time to kill, so I'll probably start on taxes. And taxes are going to be interesting, but I don't think they're going to be too very interesting this year because I only started Medicare at the end of the year, so I will be substantially the same. My wife is going to be different because she started Medicare last year, and so there will be less deduction that I'll have for health insurance. But then this year is where it's going to start getting interesting because not really sure what to figure for some of the tax rates and that kind of thing. I mean, it's going to be, I always set aside more than I usually need. So we'll see. It may take a couple of years to really kind of figure out what the new normal is. But it'll be all right. We'll get it figured out. It's fascinating to think about, but a year and 4 months from now, I'll start drawing Social Security benefits, whether or not I actually retire. I will be at full benefits by that point, so my understanding is I can go ahead and start drawing the full benefits and earn as much money as I want. That's gonna be interesting. Because then I don't know what will happen with taxes at that point. So we'll see. We'll see. Because I think Social Security is taxed at a lower rate. And I think my annuity, whenever I actually start pulling money on that, is going to be taxed at a lower rate. Because it's not earned income. I don't know. It's fascinating years ahead in far more ways than one. So the writing is good. I should be able to get the book laid out tonight. That usually doesn't take too long. And then I've got to work some more on the Bugs Bunny origami costume. I'm getting together with one of my buddies who is very, very good with puns on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that, to talk to him about the whole Bugs Bunny origami thing. And so we'll see what he has to say. And I did finish the Bugs Bunny mask, So, well, I've got one more little kind of foam spacer piece I need put on the inside so that my nose isn't rubbing against something the whole time. But that should be for that. And then I'm starting to work on the tuxedo now. I'm starting to figure out what I'm going to do as far as the quote-unquote fabric, paper fabric, quote-unquote. And I have an origami tessellation that I've found that I think will work. But when you put in the fold lines, they have to be very specific. And I roughed something up just doing it by hand, and it wasn't quite right. Thankfully, we do have a Cricut. So the plan now is to go ahead and use the Cricut to put in the fold lines on the paper that I'm using, on the cardstock that I'm using, and then go ahead and see if I can make the tessellation work based on those fold lines. These tessellations are very interesting because they form a repeating pattern in the origami paper or the cardstock, as the case may be for me. And they're really a cool looking pattern, but I'm gonna make them into squares, and then I'm gonna rotate the pattern 90 degrees and then figure out how to glue them together, because I think there'll be enough flexing in the pattern that I'll be able to actually make it stretch around curves and things. So that's gonna be interesting to work that all out. And then once I have the tuxedo jacket made in paper, then I'll have to make the lapels for it. And I'll have to make a cummerbund, probably in a different type of tessellation. And then I'll go ahead and make a quote-unquote white shirt out of cardstock as well. That'll be easy because it's just folds, to make the pleating. And then I'll have to make a bow tie as well. And all of this needs to get done in like 6 weeks. So I got to make some decisions quick and then get the assembly line going. Because I'm going to have to, the squares are going to be approximately 8 inches by 8 inches, although they're going to be less than that because they're going to fold up. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. In fact, I may start with a piece of paper that's 8 by 11, knowing that by the time I get it all folded up, it's going to shrink to hopefully 8 by 8, and then I can just have squares to work with. I'm still working out the details. So it'll be interesting, though. It's always fascinating to watch it come together, and I still don't know what the bit is completely, so but something'll come, and Bugs Bunny origami is good enough just from a visual standpoint that it'll be fine no matter what. So this week I came across an article that was one of those articles, and I think I probably mentioned this because I had found this in my research for book 20. I think I probably mentioned it on a podcast already, but I came across an article that gave much more detail on it, and I thought, yeah, this is a celebration of the fact that we live in America. And I am really puzzled how anybody can rail and shake their fist at America when these other types of things go on in the world. Because, as far as I'm concerned, anyone who can go into a Walmart and turn down the chip aisle or the cereal aisle and just not be gobsmacked at the amazing variety and diversity that there is there really doesn't understand what life is like in other countries. And how you can be ungrateful for the astonishing thing that is America. Yes, there are excesses. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we are not perfect. Yes, 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 yes. But goodness, goodness. We have so much to be grateful for. Before that, though, I came across another article that I thought, well, there you go. Because, you know, I always like it when I find something that agrees with me. in my worldview. And for years, I have been looking at gender relationships from a systems analyst standpoint. And for years, I have discussed how that the reproductive systems affect our approach to life, i.e. how we think about life, that it's obvious that they do. And what that does is it creates an on average, in general, response that differs significantly between men and women. And most, if not all, of men's confusion about how women quote unquote think, most of that comes from the fact that men don't bother to stop and consider that their reproductive systems are fundamentally different than the reproductive systems of women. And I use those terms specifically with regards to biological sex. That is what those terms meant when they were invented. I know there's a lot of other definitions that people have tried to layer onto those terms now. And in fact, people have tried to undefine those terms, which seems a bit hysterical to me, because you can't just arbitrarily decide that a word has no definition, which we have tried to do in our culture and in our society. But from a biological standpoint, men and women do think differently, in large part because we have different reproductive frameworks. We have different hormones. We have different physical structures. That all affects our brains. And that's why you can have a response, on average, in general, in a man that is in many ways similar to responses, on average, in general, that you are going to see from other men. And conversely, why you will see certain responses in women that you will see on average in general in other women. That is not to say there aren't differences. That's not to say there isn't skew and that people cluster differently on basic characteristics. But the literature is well established that there is a documented derivation on various scales between men and women, period. So I've been saying that for years, and I've been making the claim that it is related to the reproductive systems for years, and that's not a new claim with me, but it's just nice to come across an article, especially in this day and age, where it has some support strictly from an evidence base that is true. Because there's so much trying to make the claim that that is not true at this point. And so I came across this little article, and it was really short, and the gist of it is really short. So I thought I would just touch on that very quickly before we got on to the topic at hand, which is a thank God for the fact that we live in America type thing. So the name of this article was Stanford Study Confirms Men and Women's Brains Function Differently. Quote, sex plays a crucial role. Now, when they say sex, they mean biological sex and the reproductive functions. Okay, so the article says men and women have distinct brain organization patterns according to a new Stanford medicine study. The findings were published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences journal on Tuesday. I don't know what Tuesday that is. According to Stanford's medical statement on the study, it was conducted utilizing a new artificial intelligence model to scan around 1,500 brains. Okay, so you can say, well, what difference does that make? Well, as it turns out, that after the AI scanned all these brains, it was then instructed to determine whether the brain scan came from a man or a woman. Just looking at their brains and the organization of the brains. And it predicted correctly with a 90% accuracy rate. Okay, well, what does this tell us? It tells us that, in fact, at a basic organization level, that the AI was able to recognize men's and women's brains were organized differently. That is not to say that they had different parts, you know, or they had different structures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was apparently some sort of identifiable, relatable difference in sizes and structures and well, just a second. Let me find out exactly how the AI did that, if they even know. So I'm getting back to my notes. I got my mail there. They said in the article, a key motivation for this study is that sex plays a crucial role in human brain development, in aging, and in the manifestation of psychiatric and neurological disorders. One of the guys who headed this up said, the study's author, Vinden Menon, suggested that his new artificial intelligence model could be used to analyze connections between the brain and behavior. He added, identifying consistent and replicable sex differences in the healthy adult brain is a critical step towards a deeper understanding of sex-specific vulnerabilities in psychiatric and neurological disorders. Specifically, the AI model targeted hot spots, in quotes, in the default mode network, a brain system that helps process self-referential information. The striatum, which focuses on responding to rewards, and the limbic network, which focuses on regulating emotions. The study also developed models that analyzed whether behaviors could be predicted based on sex-based differences within the brain. The team then branched out into sex-specific models that were able to effectively predict men's or women's cognitive performance based on the brain scans. These models worked really well because we successfully separated brain patterns between sexes. That tells me that overlooking sex differences in brain organization could lead us to miss key factors underlying neuropsychiatric disorders. So that's very, very interesting. Of course, you know, now the next thing is that people who feel like they were quote unquote born in the wrong body, they're all going to rush out and want to get their brain scans done to where they can determine, you know, as proof that they were born in the wrong body. So the question then becomes, what do I think is going to happen at that point? And I think what is going to happen at that point is there's going to be many people who are going to be very, very discouraged. Because my guess would be that the structures that they're picking up on and the organizations that they are picking up on, in fact, come specifically from the presence of testosterone and, well, specifically testosterone. Let's see, how do I turn the light on in here? How do I do that again? It's here somewhere. Oh, is it down here? Nope. Oh, come on. I've done this before. Lights, lights, lights. Hey, there's one. Hey, there we go. Okay, good. Anyway, so I think some people are going to be discouraged. Anyways, so the study contradicts recent efforts to assert that there are little to no biological differences between men and women, especially in defense of transgender athletes competing on girls' sports teams. Dr. Gina Rippon, author of The Gendered Brain, The New Neuroscience That Shatters the Myth of the Female Brain, downplayed the study's requests and questioned whether or not the differences found in the AI model came from biological or social factors. Okay, so, you know, et cetera, because we can't give this up. So, anyways, there you go. So we'll see how that all plays out, because it doesn't really matter what you come up with. There's always going to be people who are unhappy with the results. So, as far as the article that I wanted to talk about today, this was titled "Yearly Battle," with battle in quotes, "Begins in North Korea over Human Waste for Fertilizer." The subtitle is "Citizens Once Again Steal Human Feces from Each Other's Toilets to Meet Impossibly High Quotas." Now then, this article actually came from 2022, and it was in February of 2022. Sadly, I don't think it makes any difference. I would imagine they're still trying to do this in 2023, and they're still trying to do this in 2024. Although the details may be different, bear that in mind. Okay, so the article opens by saying, "Competition for human feces has once again become cutthroat in North Korea, with mass public brawls breaking out as citizens begin the annual ritual of trying to fill unrealistic quotas to make fertilizer for the farming season." Now, just compare this to living in America, okay? If you're not grateful to be living in America, just take a moment. Take a moment to compare this to living in America. "In impoverished North Korea, farmland is fertilized using human waste because they can't afford anything else. And the government tasks every household with yearly collection quotas. As reported in January 2019, households were struggling in that year to meet an impossible quota amounting to 100 kilograms. That's 220 pounds of poop. Manure. So yeah, poop mixed with dirt. They had a quota of 100 kilograms of manure per able-bodied citizen per day. The government wanted each of its able-bodied citizens to turn in 220 pounds of manure per day. One source at the time told the newspaper that the quota was intentionally unreasonable because the true purpose of the quota was to force citizens to pay fines and bribes for failure to meet targets. So, just compare this to living in the States. The quota is slightly more reasonable in 2022, as each citizen has until March to collect 300 kilograms of manure, human waste mixed with soil, per person. But the quota still means people must dip into their reserves or find deposits elsewhere. Those who don't want to pay fines are fighting over night soil at public toilets. I had never heard it called that. And stealing it from each other. But individual fisticuffs are now giving way to group conflicts. In the northeastern city of Chongjin, whole neighborhoods are mobilizing against each other, one resident who requested anonymity for security reasons told us. Quote, on the 25th, several residents from Marum Village in Sunam District had a dispute with the people of nearby Sinhyang Village as the Marumers were trying to collect human feces from a communal toilet located in Sinhyang, the source said. After the authorities imposed their orders for every citizen to produce manure, conflicts are erupting as people venture into other districts. So this order to produce manure went out to every institution, company, school, and neighborhood watch unit, according to the source. Quote, both adults and children are participating in the battle for manure production, the source said. North Korea often stylizes public projects and campaigns as battles in the socialist revolution. It's so pathetic that disputes break out over this, but they do this every year about this time. Each family in the neighborhood has been organized into shift to guard the communal toilet, to keep the supply of human waste secure. Residents lament that they have to stand guard at the public toilet at night, then go to work the next day. The source said each resident must deliver the 300 kilograms of manure by early March at the latest to a cooperative farm to use as fertilizer. The manure assignment is also put on the schools. Even though they are on winter break, students must come to school and pull carts loaded with human feces and soil. People are complaining that authorities have no problems closing schools due to fears over COVID, but they can mobilize students to collect manure. Thankfully, elementary school students and seniors who are retired are exempt. Some regions of the country have more sources for human waste than others, a resident of North Pyong province said, told us. Quote, residents are having significant difficulty in securing manure here in northern Pyongyang province, which is located on the plains and has less than other areas. Okay. Because the residents are having significant difficulty in securing manure, they're scooping up the residue at the bottom of the sewage treatment plant in the city, causing conflicts with the community sewage management organization. Manure is human feces mixed with ash from firewood and humus soil made from rotting leaves in a specific ratio, the second source explained. It is common for citizens to bribe the cooperative farm officials to accept low-quality manure with a higher percentage of soil and ash. Fights over human waste are a sight burned into the memory of a foreign cooperative farm official who fled North Korea in 2014 and now lives in South Korea. Quote, When the new year begins, everyone in North Korea must make manure and bring it to a cooperative using buckets and hand carts. When you deliver it, you must move as a group. After the manure is given to the official, you will receive a confirmation receipt, which you must submit to the unit manager to complete their assignment, said the escapee. The problem is that North Korea suffers from chronic food shortages, so it's difficult for each family to reach the manure quota. Before I left North Korea, there were frequent fights between villages and their residents at the beginning of January each year. Okay. So, if that can't make you grateful for America, you're just not trying. I mean, that could be our lives. And frankly, if certain political entities stay in power for long enough, that will probably be our lives. Because it is not inconceivable, given enough harsh and dire consequences, supposedly, the things we have to endure for climate change, given people destroying the oil industry, given people bankrupting us, given people, you know, it is not completely outside the realm of possibility that we could face like something like that in America. I know that just seems impossible, but there has been so much damage done to the nation over the last few decades. It's just unbelievable. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what comes of it. But at least for today, we can be grateful that we are not having to fulfill human manure quotas because we have plants that can manufacture fertilizer and we have a free market system. And I got to tell you, anybody who rails against the free market system, not to say that there aren't problems with it, there are. But it's just a whole lot better than anything else. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.